class, let's open up to Mark chapter 8 as we continue in our study of paying the high price to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when you got saved, you probably thought, oh, wow, this is great. I got eternal life. But you probably didn't really think about maybe the great price that needs to be paid. In verses 34 through 38, the Bible reads, "And when he had called the people unto him and his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Father, help us this morning as we endeavor to hear from thee. Pray, Lord, that we would truly think about what's being taught and said in these verses, how they apply to our lives, and Lord, as believers, how we need to live them out in such a way, Lord, that you would always get the glory and the honor in our lives, and that people would see that, how much we love you. And Lord, they would be attracted to that and want what we have. Lord, I'm thankful for what we have, and I pray that you'd just continue to use us in a way that is always, as I said, honoring and glorifying to you and you alone, and we'll thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. So we looked at verse 34. We took several weeks to go through verse 34, the end of verse 34, where Jesus said, "Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." And we saw the great price there of denying oneself and the importance of self-denial. Now, some people take it to an extreme, and this idea that I'm no good and I'm rotten and I'm wicked, and yes, we are. We are, okay? But we also are the children of God, and we are loved by Him. We are the object of His love. So if God loves us, see, in truth, in and left to ourselves, we can be wicked and rotten. See, apart from God, that's what you'll be. It's unfortunate. That's why we need God in our life. People have attested to that throughout the ages. When they left God out of their life was a mess. But, amen, when somebody got saved, what a difference it made in their life. I don't know about you, but what a difference it made in my life. I can only, as I said, attest to my own life and how God changed me. Something happened in my life. Can I explain it all? No. Can you explain what God did in your life? Probably not. But nonetheless, He did, and I'm glad. Why? Because God so loved the world. That is, you and I. God so loved us that He gave us His only begotten Son. For what purpose? What did He give us His Son? So that He would die to pay the sin debt. To take that sin and nullify it and its effect in our life. Now, if you don't live for God, if you get saved and then never live for God and allow God to do the work in your heart that He wants to do, you're not going to be much different than those that are lost. You may be saved, you may die and go to heaven one day, but your life is going to be a mess and you're going to be miserable. There are millions upon millions of people living miserable lives because they have left God out. That's sad. I don't know about you, but I don't want to leave God out. I mean, after I realized the great price that He paid there at Calvary, to some people, they're just indifferent. We live in that type of society today where people are so numbed to sacrifice and death and all those things. I mean, in the day that Christ died, I mean, people looked at death as a horrific thing. Today, somebody dies, people are like, oh, well. Even us, yeah. You know, if somebody dies and we don't really know them and they never affect. See, the only thing that we really are affected by, get this, think about it, are what really affects us directly. If it doesn't affect you directly, guess what? It's like just water off a duck's back and it really doesn't affect you. But things do affect us. Maybe not directly, but indirectly, there's a lot of things that are out there that are affecting us. And we don't even realize it a lot of times. And one of them is just that the numbing down, or I don't want to say dumbing down, but just the numbing, the insensitivity that, why are people doing that? Why are people allowing themselves to become insensitive? Anybody got a suggestion why? I can tell you why. I'll tell you why. Sin is doing it. Amen. Right. No, nobody want to gender a guess? Miss Rita? Very good, Miss Rita. It's a protection. They put up walls because they don't want to be hurt. And so we've been exposed to so much hurt. It's a guard. We're guarding ourselves. People are very guarded today. They're very suspicious, cynical, skeptical, whatever you want to call it. That's what people are to the things of God. But nonetheless, that doesn't nullify God. God is still who He is. He still loves us. And He's still trying to reach out and change people's lives. But people today are so numb that they even miss that. They miss what God's trying to do in their life to change their life, to bring each and every one of us into a closer relationship with Him, which all begins with being saved, being born again. You have to be born again. If you're not born again, then a lot of this will just be in one ear and out the other. But when a person is truly born again, a change takes place. And people now become sensitive, and they'll start to listen. But there's a lot of things. The Bible talks about, uses a word called strongholds. And that insensitivity, those guards that we put up, are all those strongholds that people put around them to keep themselves from being hurt. Nobody likes to be hurt. Do you like to be hurt? You know, I'm not talking about being beat up. I'm not talking about a black eye. I'm not talking about a broken arm. I'm talking about the emotional hurt that people are struggling with today. That is just, it's devastating society. I mean, there's just so much. Where's it all come from? As Roy said, from sin in our life. Sin doesn't have any favorites. Sin is going to deal with everybody. Sin is going to play mind games, and it's going to be a mess, and it brings fear, and it's indifferent, I'm telling you. And we got to combat that, and the only way you're going to combat that is by living for God. The Bible says that we've got to allow the Lord to work in our hearts. We got to allow Him to warm us up, our hearts, to tender our hearts, so that we become more compassionate towards other people, and get away from that numbing of our emotions to guard ourselves from being hurt so many times. You know what? God has made us that way. God has made us emotional people. But you can't live in your emotions. You can't live in them. Okay? You have them, yes. And it makes for a wonderful part of life when you are able, though, to regulate them in a right way. Most people today, they're emotionally driven. I'm afraid to say they're emotionally driven. And they don't even realize it. They don't realize how much they are emotionally driven. That's why God has tried to tell us, don't allow your emotions to drive you. Let the Word of God direct you. That's what we need. We need God's direction. And as you embrace the Word of God and its great truths, what a difference it'll make in our lives. What a difference. I'm telling you, what a difference it'll make in your life. Draw nigh unto God, and He'll draw nigh unto you, and He will do the work in your heart to allow you to appreciate life in a greater way, not to be so, sensitive. And not that we shouldn't be. We should be loving. We should be kind. We should be gentle. Those are all, but you're only going to experience that, and you're only going to demonstrate that in your life as you walk in the Spirit, as you let the Holy Spirit, because those are the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is gentleness and kindness and long-suffering, which is patience. Those are the things that, but if you don't have the Spirit of God, you're not going to have those things. That's why it's important that you make sure that you get your salvation nailed down and that you know for sure you're saved. How do we know we're saved? Because God declares it in His Word. His Word tells us. And God, does God lie? If he lies, he wouldn't be God. We might as well just eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die, right? God doesn't lie. There is an afterlife. There is an eternal life. And we're going to live there one day somewhere because we're made in the image of God. And one of the ways that we're made in the image of God is we're made with eternal souls. Man has an eternal soul. It's going to live forever. Man has a spirit attached to its soul. That soul, that spirit's going to live forever somewhere. That's why God says you must be what? Born again. I mean, I know that term has been thrown around and maligned, but the truth is you have to be born from above. You've got to recognize there is a God out there. He loves you. He gave His Son to die and pay the penalty of sin. Whether you understand all of that or not, doesn't matter. You know, we don't have to understand all the nuances. All we need to know is that He gave His life for your life. People don't get all of that, but the truth is, when you realize that the eternal God gave His life so that we could have eternal life, we don't have eternal life just because we're people. Most people assume that today. They just assume that as soon as they're born, and they're going to heaven. Doesn't matter. That God will just forgive everything. Well, God will in the name of Jesus. But people don't like that. Oh, you're narrow-minded, preacher. Sorry. I'm not narrow-minded. I'm just saying God is that way. So are there other people from other faiths that are going to heaven? Not just Baptists? That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about believers in God and the Word of God. So we left off last time in verse 38, and so we're going to pick up there this morning. Let me just review real quickly what we talked about in verses 35 through 37. We saw that in those verses that Jesus was talking about a paradox. Now, a paradox is a seeming contradiction, something that is seemingly contradictory. But we see, maybe from our perspective, this statement doesn't make sense, but from the Lord's, from God's point of view, it makes complete sense. He says here in verse 35, for whosoever, talking about whoever it is, that's everybody, whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. Is that not what it says? So what does that mean? All right, we've identified what it says. What does it mean? Well, it means that until you lose your own way and what you think is right and your direction for life and all that you think is okay, then you're in trouble because you're going to lose it. You're in a very precarious, yes, thank you, position. And millions of people on earth are in that position because they think they know more than God. Okay, go ahead. You know what? What do you say to a person like that that just says, I don't believe that? You say, well, I'm sorry you believe that way. And are you going to change them? Oh, you can jump on them, beat them in the face, make them. Well, they used to try and do that, believe me. I mean, if you didn't go along with some of the faith's way, they put you in cages, they killed you, they beat you up, they did whatever. You know what? If you want to believe that way, then you tell me in the end how it turns out. I know how mine's going to turn out. I am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I'm trusting in the Almighty God. You can trust in whoever you want to trust in. Doesn't make it right just because you think so. That's what you got to lose. That mentality of thinking that you know better than everybody else. Let me tell you something. You don't know better, right? Let me ask you this question. Do your children know what's best for them? I mean, if Hope had her way, she'd eat candy 24/7. Am I not right? Am I not right? We all know children, right? Is that what's best for them? Oh, but we just let them do whatever they want to do, right? Well, are we not the creation of God? And in essence, is not everyone sort of like a child of God? I mean, we are the creation of God. You would not have been born if it was not. You didn't evolve, okay? We didn't come from monkeys. I don't care what Darwin said. I am not a monkey. I don't care what the evolutionists say. You can believe that if you want. I don't believe it. They're going to find out different, that we were all created. And we were created by God and in the image of God, and we were created for God and for his good pleasure. He loves us. He wants to fellowship with his creation. That's why. But you know what? There was this couple long time ago, and God put them in a perfect environment. Put them in a perfect environment. I mean, there was nothing wrong with that environment. There was no excuse for them to say and do what they did. Oh, but no. You know, people make all kinds of excuses for why they are the way they are. Just admit you're a sinner. And you are the way you are is because you're driven by your own natural desires, your own selfishness, your own pride, your own arrogancy. That's what sin is. That's what it does. But you know what? That's a hard pill to swallow. Most people don't want to swallow that pill, do they? They don't want to humble themselves. They think they know best. Help yourself. I'd love to help you. You know, it's like the person who's drowning and you got this safety ring, right? And you throw it out to them. And there it is, within grasp, and they push it away. We laugh, but it's pretty sad because that's exactly what people are doing today. You know that because when you go to try and talk to your family and those you love and maybe your neighbors or people in your workplace, when you try to talk to them, they're like, they know better than you, right? They don't even want to listen. They don't want to even consider that maybe, just maybe, what you're saying could make sense. They've already preconceived in their mind some notion, some concept. And they're just, and every last one of us are that way. But how does that change? Well, when you lose your life. In other words, when you recognize that everything you've been doing, you've done nothing but made a mess out of it. I mean, for the first 20 years of my life, everything I did, I made a mess out of it. Now, my life was no worse than anybody else, you know. But I'll tell you what, if I had stayed in that direction, if God hadn't stepped into my life and God changed my life, who knows where I'd be today? I'd probably be in hell right now, burning forever, because I just would have went on. But I thank the Lord every day for his mercy and his grace. And everyone who has experienced what I've experienced can say the same thing. Amen. God's so good. And that's the difference between somebody who's lost and saved. The person who's lost, they're thinking, what's he talking about? The person who's saved is saying, oh man, what a gracious God. Where would I be today? Amen? So you have a choice. You can live for yourself, or you can live for God. You can come around to God's way of thinking and realize that ultimately God's way is the best way, or you can just do your own thing. And again, like I said, see where that gets you. Okay? I know where my choice was when I made it back in 1977. I know where it's brought me now. And I can tell you from experience. I can look back. Not that experience is the sole, you know, determiner of life. But I can tell you what a difference my life and what God's done in it. And what a blessing it is. And I've tried to live to be a blessing to others. And I hope I've been a blessing to you and your life and trying to persuade. I can't make you do anything. I'm not, you know, these people that come around and say, well, that little church, they make people do this. They make women wear dresses. When was the last time that I stood at the door and I checked your dress? They make the guys wear ties and suits. Did I ever stand at the door and, you can't come in. You're not dressed right. Why do people do that kind of stuff? I'll tell you why. Because they come in and they hear the message and they're offended instead of humbled. There's the difference. They're that person still just saying, you're not going to tell me what to do. I'm not telling you what to do. I am just trying to show you what God says to do. Now, you either can come to terms with God. I mean, I got broad shoulders. I can take it that people don't like me, and I don't have a problem with that. People get bad with me and because they think it's me, but it ain't. I'm just directed. Look at the Bible. Am I not showing you the Bible? Now, I might expound on it a little bit, but nonetheless, I'm just trying to make it understandable. Do I make it understandable? Sometimes I wonder if people are listening. Amen? But then in verse 36, we saw Jesus' powerful question. He said, what shall it profit us if we shall gain the whole world and lose our own souls? That's what the world is. The world's out to get as much as they can. The infamous bumper sticker that reads, he that dies with the most toys wins. Is that what it says? Isn't that something like that? Can I tell you something? According to the Bible, he who dies with the most toys loses. Okay? Now, I'm not saying that you can't have things. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that, you know, that ought not to be our priority in life. Our priority in life needs to be our relationship with God, our love for Him, what He thinks, and what He wants us to do. Now, you got to determine that for yourself. I can't do that for you. So, what will a man profit? Again, nothing. He won't profit anything. And what is the worth of your soul? It's worth a lot. It's worth an eternity. This is where I get troubled because I do not want to be calloused or indifferent towards somebody and that they would be turned off. Now, if I'm trying to tell them what the Word of God says and they get offended, I can't help that. But I don't want my life personally to be offensive to somebody else. I don't want to be ugly. I don't want to even come across ugly. I don't like that. I don't think any of us should. That's why, like I said, the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness. We've got to communicate the love of God in such a way that you don't offend people. You don't, you know, I have people tell me, well, it doesn't matter. Well, this is the way I am. Well, change it then. Quit being that way. Now, some people save with fear. Yes, James says, others with compassion. But that doesn't mean we got to be ugly. See, really what that is you get offended because they're offended. And you are just, see, you know what gets us in trouble? It's not our actions. It's our reactions. It's how we react to situations. Am I right? That's why you've got to determine ahead of time how you're going to react when somebody is offended and they act ugly or indifferent or whatever their response is to you trying to love on them and give them the gospel. Too many people are like bulls in china shops. Well, I'm just going to bull them over, and if they're in my way and they don't get it, too bad. Okay. Well, you're going to have to answer for that one day, for that attitude. And we can't be that way. Not everybody's going to get it right away. Just because you give it to them doesn't mean they're going to get it. All right? What is it? It's the gospel. They're just... Some people you have to really spend time with and love them. And again, going back to what I said at the very beginning of this morning's lesson, people have these guards up, these walls up. I bet you a bunch of you, when you first came here and you heard me in my direct approach of preaching the gospel, you probably were a little offended every once in a while. Well, some of you say, no, praise God. But don't tell me that you've never been offended by some of the things that I've said, though, right? And you have to take it into consideration who's really saying it. I don't want to offend anybody, but if the Word of God offends them, then that's too bad. All right, let's look at verse 38 now. Jesus spoke of that paradox. Now he speaks of the penalty in verse 38. Nobody likes penalties. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation. I mean, the Lord just says it right out. He says, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in his glory of his Father with the holy angels. That's a lot of that's going on today. People don't like the message of the gospel and what God's trying to convey. And what the Lord said is, if you're ashamed of me and my words, then one day, he said, I'll be ashamed of you. Jesus tells us that those who reject his message, he'll be ashamed of them as much as they are ashamed of him. Or whatever it is, they don't like him, they don't want to be around God. The reason, you know, most people, can I say this? Most people, they know in the back of their mind there is a God. They just don't like to be told by God what to do. And so they've gotten enough of what, you know, they've heard the Billy Grahams. They've heard the other preachers. I'm guaranteeing you that people who don't want anything to do with God have heard the gospel somehow, some way, somewhere, whether it was for just 5 minutes or 10 minutes, and they're thinking, no way, that's not for me. I'm not going to do that because I'm not going to kowtow to anybody. I'm not going to bow down to anybody. I'm not gonna. And what is that when we say that? I'm not going to. Yeah, it's rebellion, pride, stubbornness, obstinacy. Where does that all come from? The sin nature. Boy, when I was preached to, and then I started self-examining myself, and I started looking at, you know, what was really in my heart, it scared the daylights out of me. I mean, I thought to myself, wow, boy, you're pretty ugly. You know? But then I thought, well, God's pretty great. He's pretty gracious. And he could have, at any time, squished me like a bug, but he didn't. And then for some reason, I thought about all the times he could have squished me like a bug.
I mean, things that really happened in my life that I should have been dead because of. And I'm not going to share them with you, but I just stupid things I did in my life, I should be dead. But God protected me. For what reason? For what reason? Other than a love greater than I can begin to even comprehend that he loved me. But see, most people don't, they reject that love. Again, it all goes back to the walls that people have put up and all the distrust there is because they've been hurt so many times. Every time a person gets hurt, it's like taking a little cut out of your heart. You know what I mean, right? I'm not talking about your little heart, but pretty soon you don't have much heart left, do you? Every time that little thing is cut out, you get down, and that's where those people are. I mean, they're not trusting. The word ashamed here in this context means literally unwilling. It means unwilling or restrained because of fear of shame, ridicule, or disapproval. Isn't that interesting? Exactly what I've been saying this morning. It refers to those who will not come to Jesus for salvation and who will not follow him because they refuse to accept him or his message. When a person comes to Jesus and begins to follow him, there's a price to pay. The believer rejects what the world has been saying to them and what they've been taught by the world and its ways. And that's just the default station of everybody's life. When you're born, unless you're born into a good Bible-believing church, a good Bible-believing family where you got a mother and a father that have conscientiously determined to raise their kids up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, then kids are starting out at a disadvantage. What a disadvantage, because they don't know God, they don't love God. Little Callan came up to me this morning. Guess what, Pastor? I asked Jesus into my heart. I said, "Amen, brother." And he had a big smile on his heart. Now, how much he understands of all that, we don't know. But as far as he's concerned, he's thinking about it. What a blessing. That's the advantage of being raised in a good home. Most of us didn't have that advantage where there was not much of a spiritual atmosphere in our homes. Not in my home. Now, my mom sent us to church, but just sending you to church doesn't make you any more a Christian than putting go standing in a garage and you're going to turn into a car, you know? It just doesn't work that way. But in man's limited knowledge of, of what God wants, and the reason man is limited is because they've limited themselves. They have everything that God would have them to know about God if they just open up this book. You put too much on that book. No, I don't. God puts too much on this book. God tells us, know the book. Believe the book. What do you think faith is? Faith is believing. Where do we find the truths of God? Where? In the book. You say, you mean they're not somewhere else? No, they're not in the Quran. No, they're not in the whatever, Mishnah or whatever those other people are, they're not in there. No, you're not going to find no truth in those. You're going to find the writings of men. You might as well just go read Hawthorne or Poe or one of the other ones, because you'll get just as much out of them as you will out of the Quran or the Mishnah or whatever the other books are of the famous religious writers, just because they write from a religious point of view and they dabble in spirituality doesn't make them smart men. Hey, God has given it to us. We could know everything we are to know about him if we would just believe the book. if we just get into the book, if we would just read the book. Not just read it, but I mean read it to understand it, because you know in it are what? The principles of life. The way to live. You know, if I asked you, do you want to live joyfully? Do you want to live happily? Do you want to live prosperously? There's not a one of you in this room that would not raise your hand and say, yes, that's what I want to do. I want to live that way. I want to be free from the heartache and all that stuff. Well, as long as we're on this side, you're not going to be free from heartache. Just telling you, okay? But you'll be able to deal with it far better when you deal with it with God and let Him help you through that. I can't stress that enough, of just establishing a relationship with God, letting God love you, love on God, and let Him lead you by His Word. His Word is truth. We need that truth. We need what God has for us if we want to live the life that God wants us to live, or the life that you would like to live on this side. I can't guarantee your heart will never be broken again. I can't guarantee that. But I can, as you walk through God, walk with God, that He'll help you through those times. And life will be more palatable. I don't know if that's a good word. But life will be, you'll be able to get through it, because God will be there. And He will bring a supernatural comfort that you've never experienced before. That's the peace that passes all understanding. When those heartaches come, and they are just, I weigh heavy on your heart, and they're just bringing you down, guess what? The Lord will be there to comfort you, carry you through. You say, how do you know, preacher? Been there, done that. And I've leaned on the Lord, and I can tell you, on the other side, that He's always taking care of me. He'll do the same for you. Amen? Let's love the Lord. Let's associate with God. Let's let Him lead us and carry us through. And what a difference it'll make in your life. You know the only way you're going to get it? You know how you're going to get it? It's by doing it. It's the only way. You just got to kind of dive in head first. Step out by faith. Just dive in and just start swimming. You say, I don't swim too well. Well, that's all right. God will help you. Amen. He'll come alongside, teach you how to swim. But just draw near unto God. He'll draw near unto you. What a difference. What a blessing. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this time. Thank you for your love for us. I pray, Lord, that the great truth of who you are and what you want in our life, Lord, and for our lives, has truly been communicated this morning, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that you'd bless this time in such a way that it's made a difference in someone's life. Help us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.